is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Our message today is talking about Christ, our sure foundation. Christ, our sure foundation. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Christ, our sure foundation. Say that with me, if you will. Christ, our sure foundation. Now give him a hand of praise if you believe it. It's important to see Isaiah as he lays out for us this prophetic word from the Lord. Isaiah, who is challenging the leaders of Israel, of Ephraim and Judah, the people of God who have allowed the word, the will, and the way of God to go by the wayside, have with drunken stupor led the people of God in a disorderly, disrespectful, and dishonoring way unto the Lord. And he has the words of the Lord to share with the leadership and the fellowship of God's people to put them in line with what their actions or their sins have caused. In verse 17, he begins to lay the judgment out very clearly, and he gives a sense of the dreadedness of their judgment. And if you would read that, you'd get the picture of why verse 16 comes before verse 17. Because there is, in those verses that precede our verse under discussion, is the fact that there are some good people, a remnant of the people of God, who are honoring God and obeying God and believing God and trusting God. And he wants them to know that when the destruction comes for everybody else, it won't include them. And aren't you glad God is a just God who sees all things and knows all things and hears all things and is everywhere, but he's not in everything? And so God don't really need us to tell him who is and who isn't doing what he said to do. God really does not need us to put a list down and call names about folk who won't hear nor heed his word. God really doesn't need us to report to him the people who are fighting and kicking against the prick and are setting up roadblocks for the program of God. God sees it all. But it's amazing that God, unlike man, lets them get by, but he doesn't let them get away. He gives them time to come to themselves and to repent and to get it together and come back in alignment with his word, his will, and his way. And so he's going to allow judgment to plumb the line. He's going to allow that righteousness will come forth, even though there are those who don't support it and those who don't uphold it. But he's going to show them he's God all by himself. And so he says, Isaiah, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, this ain't what I'm saying. God is saying this. Behold, focus in, pay attention. I lay in Zion. Zion represents God's church, God's his paradise, or his in his whole empire. Zion represents the place where God dwells and places his name. It is where his presence and his word is. And so he says, I lay in Zion, that holy place, for a foundation. Why does he say that? Because three things I think you ought to get out of this text as I teach and preach it today. He wants you to see the imagery, which is why he talks about these great stones and begin to unfold the various processes of these stones so that they go from a stone all the way to a precious stones. He then wants us to be able to understand the interpretation thereof to help us understand that he's using stones in a literal sense so that we are able to understand the word that is meant in the spiritual sense. And so the interpretation is that the rock in the natural that he's drawing their attention to is so that they'll understand it is what they are referring to as Christ in the spiritual sense. So it's important to recognize that imagery in this whole verse is designed so that your natural minds can wrap your minds around the spiritual understanding of what this word represents. And so then there is the imagery, there is the interpretation, and then there is the inspiration. And in other words, when you get to the end of this verse, if you ain't shouting, something's wrong with you. Because it means that you've missed the point of the message. And this, again, remember now, is to encourage those who are believers, those who are allowing themselves to walk according to the word, the will, and the way of God. And so it's an encouraging word for the believers. I lay in Zion for a foundation. And a foundation is that support system upon which everything that's worthwhile is built. And God is saying that I'm laying in Zion for a foundation, something that is sure enough to be able to deal with what I lay down. And so it's important to recognize once again that the foundation that he is laying down is none other than Jesus Christ. So notice he says, for a stone, translated large, heavy, rock, boulder. Why is that important? Well, David talks in the 27th Psalms in the 5th and 6th verse when he calls on the Lord to hide him, you know, in his pavilion and in his tabernacle. And then when he calls upon God to lift him up upon a rock high above his enemies. You see, that rock is at least two things in this concept. It is both a rock of defense for the believers, and yet it is a rock of offense for those who disbelieve. So it depends on whose side you're on. You'll either love the rock or you'll hate the rock. And the rock will either defend you or it'll crush you. It is said that if you fell on the rock, you'll break you. But if the rock fell on you, it'll crush you into sand. So it's important to recognize the power of the rock. Now, God said for a foundation. And when you lay a foundation, the foundation is usually that cannot be moved. That's stable, stout, and strong. And so when he talks about a stone, it is no any stone, no average stone. It is the best of stones, the stones that were there before the people ever knew anything about the building program of God. It was there before the people, and it'll be there after the people. Now, what is interesting about this is keep your focus on the foundation. The foundation, because in the history of Israel, they have built several temples, and through time, through war, etc., those temples were conquered and destroyed, but the foundation stood firm. And even to this day, the foundation is firm. As a matter of fact, the Palestinian Restoration or Exploration Fund discovered that in the exploring and excavating of Solomon's Temple, that the cornerstone was 38 feet long, and it was over 100,000 tons. Why was this important? Because when you understand how heavy the cornerstone was, 1 ton is 1,000 pounds. And I said 100,000, it was 100,000 pounds because it was 100 tons. So at 100 tons, it was over 100,000 pounds. Now, if you don't know anything, that's heavy. That's heavy. And so everything else was built connecting to that foundation, because that was the only foundation that was strong enough to be one that God referenced in the physical sense as in the spiritual sense, that he lay in Zion. Now, he moves forward and says, not only is it a stone, but it's a tried stone. Tried stone. Now, what tried stone means very simply is that this stone went through all the processes to discover its ability to be qualified as the cornerstone. So as a tried stone, they tried the stone in every way that they thought that the weather, war, every other way that whether or not its ability to chip, to crumble, to fall under pressure, they did every test they could to make sure that that stone was tried to be able to be the support system for the temple of God to be placed upon it. And the tried stone, again, means something else. It not only means that the stone was tried, but it means that the stone was also a trier of men's faith. It was a trier of what men believe. And so if the stone that was tried was capable of becoming the precious cornerstone, then it had to go through everything and anything that any stone could go through and still remain after the testing was over. Well, let's apply that to Jesus, because Jesus not only is the stone, but he's the tried stone. Every way man could be tested, Jesus was tested. And yet, without sin. He was tempted like as we, but without sin. That means every test that you and I would go through and fail, Jesus went through it with flying colors. So how could he be the savior of man if he fell to the same sins that men had fallen to? He had to pass every test in order to be able to be qualified as the Savior, as the Lord, as the one who could pay the ransom for mankind's sin. And so everything that you go through, isn't it good to know that when you failed, he passed? See, you can't go to Jesus and say, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. He'll say, the devil is a lie. I've been there and done that, and if you hadn't checked the record, I passed with flying colors. So if there's anybody you can trust, anybody you can lean on, anybody you can depend on, anybody you can believe that can help you to go through what they've already been through, his name is Jesus. A tried stone. And makes it clear so that the people of God can understand there is no temptation that had happened to you, but such as that has happened to all men. Don't think that it's unusual, strange that you're being put through something nobody else has been put through. You can always look to Jesus for the help, the strength, the confidence to be able to make it through whatever you're going through. Matter of fact, it's a good time to encourage your neighbor and say, neighbor, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If Jesus went through it and you believe in Jesus and Jesus has your back, you can make it too. Shout your way through your troubles, because victory is on the way. Tell somebody else your battle ain't your battle. You're just the representative of the battle of God. And you need to know, if Jesus was an overcomer and you believe in Jesus, you also shall overcome. Tell somebody it's a great day to have Jesus as your sure foundation. Now give him some praise in the house. Now it moves from a tried stone to a precious corner stone. That means it's the elect stone. That means it's the prized stone. That means it's the superlative stone. None greater, none better, none stronger than Jesus. And he is the precious cornerstone. The reason the word becomes precious is because it's been proven and its worth is clear. See, when something becomes precious to you, it's usually past the test. And then it becomes love. And then when it's gone through all of the tests, then it becomes precious love. Oh, y'all not hearing me here. I thank God for his precious love that he has given to us. And listen, the only reason why we can trust and depend on him, because his love has been proven to be precious to us who loves the backslider and is married to him and won't walk away, won't offer a bill of divorce. In other words, if you don't leave him, he won't leave you. I wish I had a help in the house. The precious corner stone. All of the stones fail to be what the precious cornerstone is. Now, in architectural spheres and realms, especially in ancient architecture, the cornerstone was, again, the heaviest and most stable stone placed, on the top of the cornerstone was the two right angle walls. So, in other words, even in our modern architecture, especially in churches, etc., whenever you see a church, symbolic is a cornerstone. And if you're facing the church, the cornerstone is always going to be placed on the lower right side of the church. The right side. Because there is a reason why the two right angles of the walls of the building were placed on the cornerstone, because the cornerstone, again, was the strongest support system of the building. And that's where the greatest pressure of the building would fall, on that cornerstone, on those two right angles, joined together those two walls. But those two walls also represented something else. It also represented Ephraim and Judah. And in the Old Testament, but again, those two right angles also in the New Testament represents the Jews and the Gentiles. And listen at this, the precious cornerstone was the only thing that could join two right angles together. It can't join a right and a left, or a right and a wrong. So what I'm trying to tell you is only Christ can join together two right things. Lord, y'all ought to miss that. He's never going to join a right and a left or a right and a wrong together. They've got to be two right angles. And listen at this. It's important to recognize that all of this can only be joined and strengthened together by the precious cornerstone. But there is another reason why He is called the precious cornerstone. Because in all of the testings, when it got down to the end of the test, and He permitted men to drive nails in His hand and nails in His feet and cause Him to be hung up high and stretched out wide. And in that moment of His final testing, He uttered seven words from the cross to prove that He was the precious cornerstone. He began by saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And the second word, He's dealing with two thieves on either side. One believes in Him and the other doubts Him. And when it got to the point where they showed their true feelings, the one said, who doubted, if you be who you say you are, tell you what you do, come down off the cross. Listen at this, save yourself and us also. Now, He was the only guiltless, the only innocent, the only sinless one on the cross. But you can tell when folk's hearts aren't right. He had done all the damage, the murder, all of the robbery, all of the other ills, and yet He wanted Jesus to set Him free, and He hadn't even repented. But the other thief, he told him, "Man, you need to shut up all that mess over there. We have done, and we are getting what we deserve. We have done the crime, and it's no more just than us to do the time." He said, "But listen, this is what I want to tell you, Jesus. When you come into your kingdom, I don't have but one thing I want to tell you. I'm not telling you to get me off this cross. I did it.
I did it and I'm admitting I did it. I was wrong and I confess I'm wrong. I believe what you say. I see something in you I've never seen in any other man. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Lord, I wish I had time to tell you everything, but I can't tell you what Jesus told him this day. Tell you what, we're not going to furlong this thing. We're not going to put it off. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, you know what that tells me? I don't care what kind of hell you're going through. If Jesus goes through with you, he'll transform your hell into a paradise experience. Yeah, I wish I had a helper in the house. You've been going through this and going through that. Tears flow down your cheeks and you cry all night long and you call folk and they won't answer your call. You tell folk and they don't believe your story. And you get to the point right before you throw your hands up, you call on Jesus. And how many of you know he'll step in right on time? And he'll turn your situation all around. But when he got to the end of his sayings, he commended his spirit into his Father's hand, gave up the ghost, and mean men took him off the cross. And while taking him down, the mean men recognized from everything that had happened that surely this was the Son of God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
The 16th chapter. Beginning with the 13th through the 18th verse. When Jesus came into the course of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The security of the church. Or the eternity of the church. Recently, I have listened to several sermons of a well-known television and radio preacher.